but through Christ in me. That is a beautiful song, and all the songs I felt like were speaking right to the message this morning and what I feel like God has laid on my heart to share with you this morning. So I trust that, again, as we have come together to hear God's word and to fellowship together, to see what God has for us, we can enter into that knowing that He has a plan, He has a purpose for you and I, and that is if we have our hearts open and ready and wanting to hear from God's word, lay me aside and try and hear what the Spirit is saying to you, because I believe this morning that above everything else, it is that we hear from the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. Hallelujah. We have a beautiful opportunity in this land that we live in, this area that we live in here, to be able to do this together, to come together and to hear the Word of God shared together, sing together. Wow. I was already blessed this morning just with the songs and singing and sharing together. I believe that we could leave here this morning having been blessed without a doubt. However, we continue to live in this world, and we continue to experience this world. We continue to be part of this world, and until the day we take our dying breath, that's the way it will be. We will be here, and we will experience this life and what all goes along with it. And one of the things that I think is essential this morning that God laid on my heart to share with you is that the assurance of eternal life, and I titled the message this morning, The Assurance of Eternal Life. Assurance of eternal. You say, what does that mean? What does it matter, Luke? What does it matter that I know, that I know, that I know without a shadow of a doubt that as I sit here this morning, that I am born again, washed in the blood, cleansed by the power of God, made anew, and that I have eternal life? What does it matter? Well, Andrew and Eric started with Eric sharing and talking about depression, and Andrew followed up with a sermon on that as well, and I find it interesting that God laid on my heart to talk about hope, because I believe that as we look at the whole idea of depression and losing sight of what God has for us, it begins with the loss of hope. And so I want to share with you this morning, and the scripture I'm going to be reading is in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. It's a very familiar scripture, and is, I think, to me, one of the most precious scriptures that I know in the Bible is this scripture here. And it is written to those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So as I share this morning, be it known that I am sharing, I'm speaking to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this is what John felt led to share by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit wants us to know this morning that we have the assurance of eternal life. And I'm not going to this here eternal security. That's not where I'm going. However, there is an element that we need to embrace, and that is that our lives will reflect if we have embraced that we have the assurance of eternal life. I come from a background of growing up and I probably shared it here before, but I say it again just for the sake of the message, is that I grew up with this here. You could not know that you were saved. In other words, you only hoped that you were saved. You hoped that you were good enough. And that is a pitiful way to live, I assure you. Because you will try all kinds of things that do not produce what it does when you embrace the fact that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Yes. There is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And when we have the assurance of that, we will live like that. We will make our lives will reflect that we have the assurance of eternal life. And where it falls apart, when we lose sight of it, that when we lose sight of the assurance of eternal life, then we lose hope. We lose hope. And I remember the day and the time, the place. I remember where I was kneeling beside my bed in the bedroom on my face on the floor when I finally got it, that the assurance of eternal life was for me in Jesus Christ. I was saved. And that it was in that alone. It was not the things that I was doing to try to be good enough. But that when I found out, when that got into my heart, I stood up from there a new man. I stood up there a changed man. That was the time and the place where I was born again, was when I accepted, when I understood, and when I received the assurance that I had eternal life in Jesus Christ and Him alone. No other way. No other way. And the hope that bubbled up inside of me, I could not contain. I couldn't contain it. I had to share it. I had to speak about it. I had to, it just didn't stay down because of the assurance of eternal life that I have in Jesus Christ, I can share with you today. We went to Missouri here a couple weeks ago, and getting back to the whole idea of hope and losing hope. And one of the most miserable places that a person, a human being, can be is when they have lost hope. And we went to Missouri. We drove on Route 70, and there at St. Louis, we crossed the Mississippi River on this big, long bridge. And I know that that's a short bridge compared to some bridges, but when you drive onto that bridge, your hope is that the person building the bridge knew exactly what they were doing. Because there's trucks in front of me and back of me, beside me, and we're driving onto this bridge. Did they build the bridge to last for till 2022 October? Did they build it good enough to last that long that when I drove onto the bridge that I have the hope that it's going to hold? That's one hope. The other hope that you can have is the hope that, yes, the engineers knew what they were doing. That's the hope that I have to drive onto the bridge. They knew what they were doing, and they built the bridge to hold. And there's every one of us here this morning that is looking for hope. There's every one of us here this morning has a desire to have hope. And I ask you this morning, what is your hope in? What is it that you have placed your hope in? And I assure you this morning that if you placed your hope in the Philadelphia Phillies, you are disappointed this morning. But wow to the Astros. Great for them. They did a good job. They played a good game. Okay, we're not going to mess around with that too long, but where's your hope? What have you put your hope in? Is your hope in your finances? Is your hope in what is it? All of us want to feel hopeful. And I thought about Louis this morning, and I thought about how Louis comes to the door every morning. Well, right now he's outside overnight, and he's inside during the day. He curls up and he sleeps. But he comes to the door in the morning. When I open the door and let him in, he'll rub past my leg, but he goes looking for Karen. You know why? Because no hope in getting fed from me. I do feed him occasionally, but he finds that his hope is better in going to Karen to get fed. And what I find amusing is sometimes the cat that he is, with his attitude and everything, if she's not fast enough, he'll come up behind her and nip her in the back of the heels or in the back of the ankle with his teeth, just a little bit. And he's away so quick that you can't get him. But his hope, and many of us, you know, we place our hope in something that doesn't produce, and something that doesn't produce hope. We put our energy into it. We put our trust in something that doesn't produce hope. For all of us, with Louis, his hope is that I'll feed him once in a while. But with God, you can rest assured that every time you come to Him, when you come to Him with a pure heart, when you come to Him with a pure heart, He is there waiting, He is willing, and He is wanting to interact with you. So what is your hope in this morning? Is your hope in the elections? Is your hope that if the right person gets elected, we're into this here, this season again of elections, and recognizing this morning that yes, there are certain people that we would like to see put into office, but is your hope in that? Is your hope in that this world is going to change, that world hunger and all that stuff is going to change by that person that's put in place? Is your hope that jobs and everything will be secure by what person is put in place? Or is your hope in that, yes, it would be good to have this individual in place to do things that would be beneficial to the culture, to our world, and to our country? Or is your hope in Jesus Christ and in Him alone? And that's where I feel like we need to focus this morning again back to the fact that if we have our hope, if our hope, the assurance of our salvation is in place, then there's a lot of things in this world that don't matter. There's a lot of things in this world that look different, I might say, if the assurance of our salvation is intact. Then we have the trust. When I'm assured of my salvation, then I have trust, not in my leaders, but in Jesus Christ, in God to move through them, in God to do what He wants to do through them. That is the hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, 19, it says, in this life only we have hope in Christ. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Isaiah 41:31. But those who wait or hope on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And my mind was led to the song that we sing many times, very familiar song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And you won't often hear me preaching a sermon on a song, but this one speaks to the message that I think God wants to share with us this morning. And the first stanza of the song is, my hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on nothing less. What are the lesser things that we are building our hope on than on Jesus Christ? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hallelujah. Everything else is less. Anything else that I'm building my hope on is less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Everything else is less. And then the second line, it says, in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. In every high and stormy gale, where is it that you turn to? Where is it that you go for hope when things become stormy, when things become rough? Where is it that you go to hope? Where do you cast your anchor? Within the veil of Jesus Christ. In the Holy of Holies, if our anchor is not cast there, then it's not going to hold. It's not going to hold. The chorus says this, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Listen to me, folks, this morning. Listen to me. We need hope. We need hope. We need more hope than what this world can give. We need more hope than what the government will be able to bring us. We need more hope than the United States Army. We need more hope than the local police department. We need more hope than our guns or whatever it is. We need more hope than our finances. We need more hope than what this world can offer. We need hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. Because it will not come, you will not get it, and you will be depressed if you're going to put your hope and your trust in any of these other things. I can't put my hope in my smarts, my intelligence, nothing other than the blood of Jesus Christ will bring hope. And I want you to embrace that when you have the assurance of eternal life, that you will have hope. You will have hope beyond what you can imagine. You will have hope. Second verse of the song, when darkness veils His lovely face. When darkness, when all the things around us, when nothing is clear, when you're seeking to find clarity and you cannot, you don't know what God wants for you, you can't figure it out. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on what? The promises of the government, promises of the, no, absolutely not. I rest on his unchanging grace. Hallelujah. This morning, we can rest on his unchanging grace when it doesn't look clear to us, when it does not look clear to what the outcome or what the where this country is headed or where the where church is headed, where our lives are headed. Sometimes things don't make sense. They don't come clear. But we can rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. In verse 3, his oath is covenant and blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Let me do it again. His oath, his covenant, and blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way in fear, when we doubt, when we're fearful, when things look like they're going to overwhelm us, he then is all my hope and stay. He, not I, not what I have figured out. Verse 4, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. May I then in him be found. Clad in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt this morning that you have eternal life? Do you know? Do you know? And I'd love to hear a shout, but I'm just going to hold it for now. The assurance of eternal life is essential in living a life of surrender to the will of our Heavenly Father. The assurance of eternal life is essential to living a life of surrender to the will of our Heavenly Father. Let's get to the scripture. In 1 John 5, verse 1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Period. They don't put a period there, but I just did. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten by him, of him. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What is it that overcomes the world? What is it that overcomes the world? It's our faith. It's our faith that overcomes the world. This is the victory. This is the victory. What's your faith in? What is your faith in this morning? Is your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone? Or has your faith wavered? And it's maybe being resting a little bit on something else. Verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is it that overcomes the world? That's you and I who have believed that Jesus is the Son of God, have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are an overcomer of the world. Amen. You are an overcomer of the world. Verse 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. I think we clearly understand that. The Trinity, Father God, the Son, Jesus Christ, which is the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. No question. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. We have the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives and witnesses to the truth of what of Jesus Christ and who he is. We have the water. When the Spirit was driven into Jesus' side, there was water and blood that flowed out. Water demonstrating purity. The blood demonstrating redemption. And these three agree as a witness to the actuality of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, he kind of throws in here, if we receive the witness of men, And the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. We're willing to take testimony from men. We're willing to believe what they say as they testify. Then why would it be a struggle to accept what God has testified of his Son to be true? We have within us the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Those of you that have been born again know exactly what I'm talking about. The testimony of the Holy Spirit within you, confirming in your spirit that you are one with God and that you're okay with God, that things are good with you and God. There's the Holy Spirit that makes that confirmation within you. Verse 10, he who believes the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Remember that. Then verse 12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13, one of the most beautiful verses written in the Bible. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So these things he wrote so that we might know, so that we might know and that we might believe. Those of us who believe in the name of the Son of God, that we might know that we have eternal life. One of the things, you know, as we look at this coming week and we're preparing for communion next Sunday night, I challenge you again this morning that this be a week of examination, a week of self-examination. Look into your heart. Is your heart truly connected to the heart of God? Are your desires the desires of God? Is your relationship, as we saw earlier in this scripture, is that someone says that they love God and doesn't love their brother, they missed it. So there's a love for each other that comes when we love God and we love those who are created by God. And the other thing is that we keep his commandments. These are signs that we have accepted and believe that Jesus Christ is God. One of the birthrights that God gives to each of his children is the assurance of their salvation. One of the birthrights that I believe that God gives is the assurance of our salvation. Someone once said, if Satan cannot get you to drink, he will get you to doubt. Kind of a loose thought, but if he can't get you to drink, he'll just get you to doubt. It doesn't have to be anything. We look at sin and we kind of put them in categories. How many of us have ever identified doubt as sin? Is your hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? If you're not dead certain this morning, today is the opportunity. Today is the day. Today is the day where you can come to the Father and say, God, I am a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. And when you do that, when you repent of your sin, when you get on your knees before God and say that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, he is willing and he wants to and he will give you the assurance of eternal life at the moment the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. That you have the assurance of eternal life. A doubting Christian is a defeated Christian. A doubting Christian is a defeated Christian. You will be defeated in your prayer life. You will be defeated in your witnessing life. It will destroy your ability to worship because your attention will be turned inward. Every practice of the Christian life will be affected, and you will be rendered powerless if you do not believe in the assurance of eternal life. No doubt, that does not mean that you're not saved if you have struggled with a temptation or you've struggled with something. It doesn't mean that you are, God doesn't, okay, one of the things I want to make clear and really sure of is that God doesn't hold your salvation on a string. Now you have it, now you don't. Now you have it, now you don't. So I thought a bad thought. Whoop. I said a bad word. Whoop. I said, I did something mean. Whoop. I cut somebody off on the road. Whoop. And until you repent, then you get it back again. The place where it becomes separation is when God has spoken to you and he has talked to you and you have rejected and said, God, I don't care. I want nothing to do with you. I don't care. I don't care. When you have said that, so what is eternal life? Who is eternal life? Who is eternal life? Let's look at this one. And I find this interesting, that in John 1:4, John says that life, the light of mankind, was in Jesus. And in John 14:6, Jesus himself says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. In these passages, it would appear like John is referring to something other than the physical life. And I think we can understand that. We can grasp that, that it is something other than the physical life that he is talking about here. Rather, and I think it's not something that's obtained, rather than it is in who he is. And stay with me. Let's look at a couple of verses in Scripture. In 1 John 1:2, he says this, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Let me read it again. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. It's clear here that John was talking about Jesus. And let's look at another verse. In 1 John 5:20, it says, he is the true God and eternal life. He is the true God and eternal life. So what is eternal life? It's Jesus. Jesus is eternal life. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and we enter into his death, his resurrection, and all those things, we enter into it. So our eternal life is not something that we possess. It is something that we are, or who it is within us with Jesus Christ being eternal life. Jesus Christ is eternal life. There is nothing else eternal. When you look at the word eternal and what it means eternal. There is nothing else eternal. God is eternal. So eternal life we have in Jesus Christ. And this might really sound elementary to you, but I really want us to get it this morning. That the assurance of eternal life is in Jesus Christ and in him alone. So it should be no surprise to see that. And let me look at just a couple of verses here. Romans 6, 3 and 4, Paul says that we were crucified and buried and resurrected in Christ. And in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, he says that we were raised with Christ and seated with him at the right hand of the Father. So that is in Christ, we have experienced with him his death and his resurrection. We have experienced that with him. So it should be no surprise for us to see that Jesus is eternal life, and that in him, we also experience eternal life. But we do not have this on our own. It is not something I possess. I have it as long as I am in Christ. I have eternal life as long as I am in Christ, because he is eternal life. He is eternal life. There's no other way. It's a gift. 1 John 17, 2 and 3 says this, as you have given in the high priestly prayer that we're familiar with, Jesus prayed, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And so it is a gift. It's given to us. It's not something that we have acquired or something that we have worked for. If there is work being done, it is missing the point. It's in the relationship. It's in the relationship with Jesus Christ. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Why did he add that? Why did he add that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God? So, when do we receive eternal life? Does this come at conversion, or does it wait until I physically left this world behind? When did I get to eternal life? When am I assured of eternal life? The answer is both. So I receive eternal life when I'm converted, but I also experience the fullness of eternal life. That doesn't happen until I'm dead, until I am able to interact with God in the spirit person. That's when we experience the fullness of the eternal life. So in John's writings, you'll find that he speaks of eternal life as a present tense. In John 3:36, he says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So do you believe that? I believe that. Yes. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And then we go to other New Testament writers that in Matthew 25:46, and I'm just going to do this quickly because I got to move on, is that it says to go to eternal life. In Mark 10:30, Jesus says this, that for him will receive eternal life at the end of the age to come. And in Titus 1:2 and Titus 3:7, Paul looks to the hope of eternal life. So the answer is already yes, but not yet. So we have the assurance of eternal life, and we can live in it, we can walk in it, we can embrace it, but there is more to come. There is more to come. And I can't wait for that, to fully experience that relationship that we can have, that we will have in Jesus Christ. One of the scariest verses in the Bible, Matthew 7:21. This is one of the most assuring, comforting verses, one of the most scary verses in the Bible, is in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. I believe that too. I believe that too. That's one of the scariest verses in the Bible. I think of that, that is sobering to know. There are people who, by word of mouth, declare to be followers of Christ, but do not do the will of God. Is only a declaration of mouth and not followed by action. Truth for Life, and I'm going to close with this. Truth for Life had a devotional this week, and this, I think, sums it up. And I want you to walk away from here not being discouraged, but with hope. Okay? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And when you embrace that, you'll be able to face all of life. You'll be able to face all that life throws at you. When your assurance is in eternal life and not in you, not in what you are. God wants us to honor him. God wants us to praise him. God wants us to worship him. And when we are without hope, we don't worship, we don't praise, we don't pray, we don't read the word of God when we are without hope. But with hope, with the assurance of eternal life, then we will praise God. We will honor him. And we do, one of the ways of praising God and honoring God is to keep his commandments. And we honor him with our lips. We sing songs. We honor him when we get down on our knees and we pray. We honor him when we care about each other. Because he says, how can you love the one who created and not love the created one? Our Lord, I'm going to read this. Our Lord Jesus desires us to think well of him. that we may submit cheerfully to his authority. High thoughts of him increase. This is from Truth for Life, a daily devotional. Our Lord Jesus desires us to think well of him, that we may submit cheerfully to his authority. High thoughts of him increase our love. Love and esteem go together. Therefore, believer, think much of your master's excellencies. Study him in his pre-incarnate glory, before he took upon himself your nature. Think of the mighty love that drew him from his throne to die upon the cross. Admire as he conquers all the powers of hell. See him risen, crowned, glorified. Bow before him as the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God. For only in this way will your love for him be what it should be. Only in this way will your love for him be what it should be. And you can't do that if you're not assured this morning of eternal life. You will stand at arm's length and hold him at arm's length. Let's stand together for a closing prayer. And I believe this morning that to most of you here this morning, I spoke to those who believe in the name of the Son of God. But be it known to you this morning, if you're here and you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, when we're singing, come up here to the altar. We'll have someone pray with you, because there is no day like today, and you don't know if you'll get tomorrow. You don't know if you will get tomorrow. Today's the day. Today's the day to stamp that assurance. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and to look into your word. I pray that your word would go from this point, Lord, that it would grow fruit to your honor, to your glory. God, I pray that you would anoint everyone that has received the word this morning, and that it would be planted and it would not be able to be wiped out by the cares of this world. I pray, Father, this morning that your kingdom would be advanced because of the hope that we have, and recognizing that our hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, nothing else, Lord. Help us to identify those places where we are trying to build on things that are not of you, Lord. Help us to identify them. Make them clear to us. Father, we open our hearts to you. We open our spirits to you to receive from you. And Lord, I pray a blessing on this congregation, Lord. As we go out from this place today, Father, I pray that you would go with us. I pray most of all for protection from the spirit enemies. That as we go from this place, Lord, that the spiritual enemies would not be able to harass or to discourage or to bring a lack of hope to your children, to your people. So God, we give this place to you. Pray that your anointing would be upon it and upon each person in Jesus' name. Amen. And the chorister lead us in song.